If you kind of like fitness, then you'll definitely love this podcast. You are listening to the only fitness podcast where you'll hear a lot about fitness and a lot about other-ish.
Okay. Is this going to be allowed? Is this going to be allowed in here?
Yeah. Wait, why not?
I don't know. Copyright? I'm losing my mind.
Okay, here we go.
I'm so excited to be here right now. It is a privilege and a blessing to be talking on our newly branded Only Fitness podcast.
This is the first time we're Only Fitness.
I know.
What's up, guys? This is the Only Fitness podcast where we only talk about fitness. We are literally the only podcast in the world who talks about fitness. There is no other fitness podcast other than us. That is why we are called the Only Fitness podcast. If you guys want to know why we had to change, it's because someone already trademarked Fittish and Fittish Media, I believe, and Fittish Podcast. So they've got a thriving business. We did not know that. We thought it was a name that was up for grabs. We didn't think anyone had branded it. I think we're okay with the Only Fitness thing because they're just words. Like, those are just two words, right? Only fitness. Like, yeah.
We did something with Fittish.
Man, we thought we did something. So now we have to rebrand. We'll hopefully have a new intro with this one so that it doesn't say Fittish anymore, or else we're going to get sued. But yeah, that's why we're Only Fittish.
For our intro?
I think for the intro too, yeah. So I'm changing it. We're changing it. This is the Only Fitness podcast. I think we're still going to keep it. Like, if you still like fitness, then you'll definitely love this podcast. I think we're just changing, you know, the other parts that said the words ish and fit.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's such a bummer.
Hey, I like Only Fitness better.
I think I will also like Only Fitness.
Well, yeah, I will like it. I will. Right now, it's okay.
But hopefully, it's the last time we have to do any, like,
any changes. Man, we're just going to change it to Podcast with Alan and Monica.
This is life, baby. This is how life evolves. We grow. We change. Yeah.
We have mutations and defects.
Uh-huh.
And then we change it. Well, I mean, today, we'll keep it short and simple. As the title of the podcast says, these are 6 steps to a 6-pack. Or, as Monica was saying earlier before we got on to the air, 6 steps to losing fat. 6 steps to losing fat, 6 steps to a 6-pack. Either one works. You don't have to have the end result be a 6-pack. It could just be losing fat. That's cool, too. But it's just not as catchy, so we had to put that.
That's just a disclaimer.
Yeah, I think it just sounds way better. So before we even begin, what's something that we should let all of the audience members know when trying to get a 6-pack? What's like the one thing that they cannot not know? Sorry, that was a triple negative.
Yeah, oh my God.
What is the one thing everyone should know? Like, everyone always says that you need to be in this in order to have see your 6-pack.
Okay. Is it the CD?
It's the CD. Yeah. What is CD?
I think carry the 1, add the 12. Calorie deficit.
Okay. So Monica, tell the audience what a calorie deficit is. What's a calorie deficit?
You are expending more energy than you are consuming.
Perfect. So that's it. That's literally, we're going to end the podcast there. That's all you need to know. Good luck. Let us know. Okay. No. So we're just coming out with this disclaimer that calorie deficit is the process by which you are able to lose fat or lose weight. In our case, we want to be focused on losing fat because, you know, there are many ways to lose weight. You can, you know, drink less water, which we don't want you to do. You can cut off an arm, which we don't want you to do. You can sell your organs on the black market, which we don't want you to do. But all those methods help you lose weight, not necessarily fat, right?
We do not want to lose muscle.
No, I love my muscle. I spent a lot to get this. So
yeah, the goal.
No. It's okay. Wait, just put it back on. No. I mean,
Oh, sorry.
unmute
It is
yourself.
on. Wait.
Yeah.
I
Okay,
hope
it's
it
okay.
got that. Do you think
It's
it
okay.
got that?
I think it did. Yeah. So let me just go over here.
I'm gonna cry.
So calorie deficit is not like a certain type of diet. It's more of a theory. It's like a principle of physics.
Thermodynamics.
It's a thermodynamic principle, and unless you have created a new principle or have learned to break a rule or a theory of physics, well, one, don't listen to this podcast. You should hit up NASA so that they can study your body, because if you are able to not be in a calorie deficit and lose weight, then that is like an enigma that has never been proven before.
You
Like,
might be an alien.
yeah, I don't think anyone has been in a calorie deficit and not lost weight, and I don't think anyone has been in a calorie deficit and gained weight. So both of those things, like, there's yeah. So I want everyone to just understand that it's a thermodynamic principle. It's not a diet. It's not like how people regard keto or paleo. Those all diets work by putting you in a calorie deficit. Even lifestyle changes can put you in a calorie deficit. So that's like the umbrella term for everything that we talk about today. Everything that we talked about in our six-step process is going to revert back or come back to or point to a calorie deficit. So we're trying to get you into a calorie deficit without expending too much of your own brain power. We're going to try to take out all the guesswork here today.
Keep
Just
it
listen.
simple. We're
We're going to
keeping
keep
it
it
simple for
simple.
you.
Keep it simple, stupid. We're
We're
just
about to
going to go.
kiss.
No, we're not. Oh, this keep man, I just lost track. Okay. We're going to keep it simple.
Silly.
If you follow this formula, you should get a lot closer to your goals, all right? So six steps. This is the first iteration. As we progress as human beings and as personal trainers, maybe we'll add more steps or take away some steps, but we want this to be as seamless and as easy as possible. With that,
Number one.
number one
Can I
for
go?
this, yeah, for six steps to a six pack, what is it? Number one.
Number one, increase your non-exercise activity levels. How does one increase their non-exercise activity levels?
Walk more, bitch.
And
That's
that's
what it
it.
says on the Google Doc. Is
I'm gonna throw up.
this gonna work? Should we try one
Don't
more time?
know. Just keep going.
All right, guys. We,
Otherwise,
yeah. Should be good, right?
I don't know.
Okay, little technical difficulty. We're gonna go over the first step one more time. And it is to increase your non-exercise activity levels. What does that mean? On our Google Doc, we've wrote here in a bullet point, walk more, bitch. So that's one way to increase your non-exercise activity levels, just by walking more, getting up, standing up, cleaning the house, anything that's not exercise related, doing more of that, whatever that is. And walking is the easiest form. I like to bring it up because when people think, oh, do I need to do cardio to get into a calorie deficit? They all automatically think of running. And not everyone knows how to run. I'm telling you right now, 90% of people listening to this podcast, you don't run right. I'm sorry. You probably get injured a lot. Your shins probably hurt. Your knees probably hurt. It's because you don't know how to run.
Tell the audience how you know this. Like what is your previous history? Are you like a, did you run in college?
Oh no, I picked up running during quarantine and I learned I didn't know how to run. There's a lot of very small specifics. I think in terms of running versus like strength training, I think running is a lot easier to get into, but doesn't mean it's less complex
I do
than.
not think running is easier. Well,
No, well, think about it. What do you need in order to run? A
nothing.
pair of shoes at the most. Yeah, you really don't need much. But for strength training, like, you need weights, you need to learn that. But people,
Technique, yeah.
yeah. I'm pretty sure running is the cause of most injuries for recreational activity. In the world, like, people sprain their ankles, very small ones, foot fracture, knee pain, all those things come from running. But that's why we say if you don't want to do cardio and you don't want to run, you can walk. Increase your non-exercise activity levels, because if you are exercising, let's say you exercise 1 hour 5 times a week, that's 5 hours in the gym, right? So if we look at one day and you go to the gym for 1 hour, you're still up for maybe 15 more hours out of the day, right? If you're sitting for those 15 hours, you're just not very active. Mm-hmm. Like people will be like, oh, like I go to the gym every day for an hour, 2 hours even. I'm so active. Well, let's look at the rest of how you spend the other 14 to 15 hours. And let's see if you're actually active, which in most cases, you're not. You're sitting at a desk doing work, not getting many steps. I love checking how many steps I get if I get into a work zone, because if I don't walk the first thing in the morning, I can go up until like 3 p.m. and have walked less than 1,000 steps.
Yeah.
The average person walks less than 3,000 steps in a day in America.
Yeah. And I mean, also like, just to show you how important it is, if you go to any website that has like calculate your calories or your whatever, they always right. ask you what's your activity levels, like aside from working out.
Right.
Sedentary. What is it? Moderately sedentary. I don't know what it is.
Sedentary, a little, medium, a lot, a ton. I don't know.
Yeah. Those. They just ask you about your job. Like, is it physically demanding yeah. or not?
Yeah. Which if you're listening to this and this is something you're having trouble with, then you're probably not as active as you think you are or you want to be. So we're trying to give you these ways to incorporate. I think going on a walk the first thing in the morning, if you can, for 10 to 20 minutes is really good. Walking after every meal is really good. Kind of just stack the habit of walking with whatever else you want to do. Listening to a podcast and you're not doing much else before dinner, go for a quick walk. Just around the block even. So increase your non-exercise activity levels, things that don't require you to be like in the gym or running around.
Take the stairs.
Take the stairs, park farther away from the grocery store.
Take your dog out for another walk.
Take your dog out for another walk. Treat yourself the way you would treat your own plants and your own pets. Treat yourself the way you would treat your plants and your pets. You water your plants. You make sure to water them properly.
You talk to them kindly.
Talk to them. You lick them. Your pets, you eat their poop. No, I'm kidding. You feed them. Take them on walks. You never say, oh my God, you're so fat. I'm going to restrict all of your food from now on. I'm going to put you on Atkins or keto. Bye. Would you ever do that to your little puppy named Snow? No.
Aw.
No, you wouldn't do that. Okay. That's enough about number one. Number two, what does that say there, Monica?
Build muscle.
Build muscle. Muscle is, well, muscle is the most metabolically active tissue in our body. What does that mean? It requires the most amount of energy, in this case, calories, to just stay on the body. So imagine you've got this fire generator. And it's just burning all the time. It's just burning and burning. And you don't have to do anything to keep it going. Maybe you put in a log here and there just to stoke the fire. But you're not having to constantly put in like more fire, more coal, more liquid. So how do we build muscle? What's the easiest way to build muscle? It's through strength training, resistance training. Those two go hand in hand. So usually lifting weights, I mean, you can use your own body weight also. Anything where you have to resist a certain weight. Even swimming could get into that, but I don't think it is as high up on my list as strength training would be.
Swimming?
Yeah. Swimming. Swimming is resistance. Yeah, you're going against the water. But so anything you have to be pushing against essentially would be strength or resistance training. But I think anything with weights just makes it easier. So when you're building muscle with those weights, that's like putting in a log that you only need to check on every other day. Whereas if you are just trying to forcibly and manually lose fat and lose weight through running copious amounts of times during the week, that's like having to, you know, go out and find wood every night, go out and create a new fire every night. Like you have to constantly keep the fire going. I don't know if you've watched Snowpiercer. Did you ever watch Snowpiercer, where they have to keep the engine going using the fire, like throughout the whole 24-hour? Yeah, on the train, they have to keep the fire going the whole time. Like there's always someone on duty, because if they let the fire out, the engine dies. That's what cardio feels like to me. Like just doing cardio.
Right.
Like cardio alone, just for the goal of losing fat or losing weight. It's like the moment you stop running, that's the moment you lose all your progress. So in order to maintain everything that you've gathered up to that point, you have to keep doing it and doing more of it. And then you get to a point where it's just like, oh my God, I can't run 2 hours every day for the rest of my life.
So yeah.
That's why we say build muscle. Easiest way to build muscle, strength train. Pick up a weight, put it down.
That was probably one of your best analogies.
Good analogy?
Yeah. Man, I was expecting a good one today.
Well,
for just
cool.
Doing your regular, you know.
Yeah, I don't want to go back to the. I got the regular ones.
Investment.
The investment, the renting, running and cardio is renting your gains.
That's a really
building
good
muscle
one.
Is investing long term. Yeah, but yeah, there was also a study published showing that when you build muscle and your muscle is metabolically active, it sends these little signals through cellular crosstalk, through vesicles. These vesicles attach to your fat cells, your adipocytes. And what they do is that they metabolize fat into fatty acids.
What so does that mean?
When fat is metabolized or turned into fatty acids, then it can be properly broken down by the body and used as fuel.
Mm.
If you just have fat as a fat cell, it's not being used as fuel or energy in that moment. The reason why we have fat and store fat is so that we can use it as fuel if we ever run out of carbohydrates, or if we ever, if we ever run out of carbohydrates, if we don't have any glucose in our body to use for immediate energy. So for long-term energy, we start to go into fat oxidation. And what they're finding is that when you build muscle and you use your muscle, we get that fat oxidizing capability directly from the workout as well. They showed it using rodents and the MIR1 pathway. And basically the fat turns into fatty acids due to the muscles sending these vesicles and these cellular signals to the fat, telling the fat that it needs to be broken down in that moment.
So you're telling me that fat doesn't turn into muscle?
What? Why are you laughing? What?
I don't know. I'm sorry.
Oh,
it's
did you
late.
Mean muscle turns into fat?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. That
oh,
one.
Yeah. You said that backwards.
Oops.
No, muscle does not turn into fat. Muscle might actually turn fat into energy, which energy you can use to build more muscle.
Oh, shit.
Something,
we
no,
just
I,
figured
I,
it out.
FBI, open up. All right, so that's
okay.
Enough about building muscle. Hopefully we got you to, you know, wanting to pick up a weight. Number three, stress
just
management.
Hold on.
Wait.
You can basically do less, okay? That's all we're saying.
Build muscle. So yeah. Build
do
muscle.
Less. Get more doing get, less.
Get more doing less. Yeah, you don't have to do as much. Number three, stress management and sleep. So there's a little note here. These aren't necessary, but they make it a lot easier. So I'm going to say that again. They're not necessary, but they make it a lot easier. I'm not telling you that you need to have sleep, but sleeping makes it a lot easier.
Why would you say like not necessary though?
Because people can go get into a calorie deficit and lose weight and lose
fat
without sleeping. Like they could sleep but I'm telling you the downstream of what that's going to do, which we're going to touch on in 1 second, makes it a lot harder. And here's why. I took a class on circadian rhythms, biological circadian rhythms back in undergrad, so 2018. There were some super interesting studies, and one that always stuck out to me, and I think stuck out to you too, and whatever classes you took, was that sleep deprivation causes poor calorie energy expenditure, aka your body holds on to more calories than normal, and your body wants to eat more calories than normal. So we're going to link this Science Daily post. I couldn't find the exact journals. Well, I think
we'll
I could.
Find them. We'll
find them.
Them.
We'll add the Science Daily and also the published journals and scholarly articles on this. But essentially what they looked at was it was a meta-analysis. So it looked at many different research publications, looked at all of them and tried to come down to a single conclusion based on all of these studies. And essentially, when you are sleep deprived, even an hour less than what your body needs or what you normally sleep, then your body tends towards eating 500 more calories, about somewhere between 385 to 500 more calories than their counterparts or than normal. So basically they had like these group one and group two. So group one, let's say, is the control group. Group two is sleep deprived. What they saw between these two groups was that the sleep deprived group and the control group, even though they had access to the same foods, so they would have access to just whole foods for 12 hours and then just snacks for 12 hours, something like that. Even though they had the same amount of time given to eat as much as they want and whatever types of food they wanted, the sleep deprived group ate almost 500 more calories than the non-sleep deprived group. So let's just put this into simple terms. If you were to sleep deprive yourself an hour every night, well, by the end of the week, you would have 7 hours of sleep debt. And if every day you're sleep depriving yourself by an hour at least, and you're eating 500 more calories than you normally would after a good night's sleep, 500 calories times 7 days, it kind of gets into this area where it's 3,500 calories. And people normally say that that's about the same amount that it requires to add on 1 pound of fat, right? 3,500 calories equals roughly 1 pound of fat. That was from other studies that they've done in the past. So basically, if you're eating 500 more calories every day because you're sleep deprived, by the end of the week, you would have essentially gained at least a pound just from that, just from being sleep deprived. So that's why I said sleep isn't necessary, but it makes it a lot easier. And we're not even going to get into the nitty gritty details of like how it affects your hormones, like cortisol, and what cortisol does to hold on to lots of water weight. Cortisol is a stress hormone. We're not even going to get into that, but that also plays a part, a huge part. Unless you had some notes on that you wanted to go over.
No, but I mean, just with the stress thing too, just think about how much your behaviors change when you are stressed. I mean, I tend to consume a lot less water.
Yeah.
I tend to also, I mean, maybe that's an emotional thing, but eat a bunch of snacks.
Yes. No. Oh, what they also saw with, when you're sleep deprived, they saw something with, I think, the frontal cortex, whichever one is controlling your like executive decisions and judgment. You kind of revert to the back of your brain. So like the thalamus, hypothalamus, whatever. Yeah. Well, hypothalamus, that's for like, I thought it was thalamus.
The amygdala.
Oh, amygdala's for like fear, isn't it? And fear perception. Anyways, essentially, basically, you have worse executive decision making when you have less sleep. And so what they found with the sleep deprived group is that they tended towards foods that were more hyper palatable. And they were trying to make the link. I don't think they ended up actually making a good like causal link, but there is definitely a correlation that when you sleep less, your body tends to want to, one, hold on to more calories, and two, since it's in a stressed state and it thinks that it's not going to be able to eat because you're not sleeping, so maybe there's a predator chasing you, it has that idea in mind. So then it also wants to eat foods that are much higher in calories. So foods that are high in fat, high in carbs, those would be high in calorie and easy to eat. Your body wants to eat those because it's thinking like, oh, I'm not going to get the chance to eat because we're not sleeping. We're not sleeping because we're in imminent danger. We're in imminent danger. So therefore, you know, we have to go and find these foods that will last me for the next 3 to 4 days.
And we don't even have to go searching for them because we already have them.
Right.
So we can eat them whenever the fuck we want.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why we said stress management and sleep, they're not necessary, but they make it, I'd say, 90% easier in the long run. Maybe short term.
I would
term,
say 95.
95. That's statistically significant. That's a p-value less than 0.01.
There we go.
That's pretty good. Okay.
Mambo number four.
So the first three here, we're going to go over them one more time. Number one was to increase your non-exercise activity levels. We talked about walking. Number two, building muscle. We talked about strength training. Number three, stress and sleep management. We talked about what sleep deprivation does to you and your body and what that might cause. Those were all ways to kind of get into a calorie deficit from the energy expenditure side. So the calories you burn. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to get into the nutritional side, or the calories that come into the body. So basically, we can set this up as a calories in versus calories out. The first half was all about the calories out, how we use our calories, how we use our energy. Then this back half, we're talking about the calories in, what goes into our body, how we nourish ourselves. So Monica, kick it off with number four, which number one of the second half.
Okay. Number four, eat more whole foods, fruits, and veggies.
Eat more whole foods, fruits, and veggies. So we're telling you to eat more. We're not saying eat less at all in any of these things.
Abundance mindset.
Yeah, we want you to eat more. We want you to crowd out your plate. If your plate has, I'm telling you right now, if you went a whole week eating as much as you want of the food that you find on the outside of the supermarket, so let's get into supermarkets and their psychology. Everything in the middle of the supermarket are, well, one, priced up, and two, they're things that are in packages or in cans, things with high shelf life. Like, you're not finding meat in the middle of those aisles, unless it's in like the freezer section, but then it's probably like chicken nuggets. It's not like poultry and like raw meat. So anything in the middle, just, you know, don't look at it, because everything you need to survive is going to be on the outside. That's where you get your fruits, your veggies. If you drink milk, there's milk out there even. You've got your meats, your raw meats, poultry, salmon, fish. All of that's found on the outside. On the inside, that's where they get your money. On the outside, if you did that, you would be fine. So what I'm saying is that if you were to go a whole week to eat as much as you want of the things that you find on the outside of a grocery store, I can almost guarantee you would lose weight.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's a bold claim.
Do you know how hard it is to overeat like fruits and veggies and raw, like meat? Do you know how, like, it's, I don't think people understand.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever regretted like eating too many grapes. Because one, it gets hard because the satiety signals get back to your brain and just stop you from eating. Whereas if you're eating a bag of potato chips, they hijack all those processes and you don't actually know when you're full.
Yeah. It's like, it's not even the, like, how satiating it is. It's just like the crunch. It's just like the, what's the word? Isn't there a word for this?
The crunch. The palatable, the texture
and
I think I know what you mean. Yeah, they spend billions of dollars just on the packaging and how the food looks, tastes, and feels in your mouth. They spend billions of dollars on that.
Same, like, with like the back to the psychology of the like supermarket product placement, the way that the label, or what is it, the colors
it's
so attractive.
Yeah.
That's why branding is very important.
Branding is huge for these, but you won't find that branding for your grapes or your meat. Usually it's not like that, because they're like, eat it or not, I don't care.
You know what does a really good job is the cuties, California cuties.
I see.
I always like those.
Not me.
Okay.
But if you were to just survive on sustenance from the outside of the supermarket aisles, I could almost guarantee you'd lose weight.
Yeah.
It's just so hard to overeat.
We'll give you something like applicable, something that you can actually try, that I learned from our dear friend, Haley Gorski,
who is a
registered dietitian, to have at least three different colors of fruits and veggies with every meal that you have. And then I always like to say too, just eat them first before the rest of your meal. It is hard.
Three different colors.
Yeah.
That can be hard.
It's hard for me. I try.
Yeah. That's a great one. Yep. So eat more whole foods, fruits, veggies. There you go. Everything on the outside of the supermarket. Eat as much as you want.
All right.
Eat as much as you want. Number five.
Mambo number five.
Mambo number five. I was going to say that.
Monica in my life.
Does he actually say Monica? And then Alan on the side.
Yep. All right. Okay. What's number five?
Number five. So this one is, you probably not heard it too often, but I'm going to bring it in because I think it's really good. Rotate your carbs and fats with each meal. So
what do you mean?
First things first, I'm the realist. First things first, all your meals will have protein. You will have protein at every one of your meals, no matter where, whether it's coming from a meat source or a plant source. I want you to have protein. Okay. So that's out of the way. Everything has protein. What do I mean by rotating carbs and fats? So for example, meal number one will be protein plus a carb. So when I'm thinking of this, it could be like, eggs on a bagel. If you really want a bagel, you will have a bagel for meal number one. Meal number two is going to be protein with fats. So that's kind of where you get your chicken and you put it maybe on a bed of salad, and then you add in your healthy fats like an avocado on the side. Boom, that's meal number two. So meal number one was more carb heavy. Meal number two was more fat heavy. When we're saying like rotating the carbs and protein, like you can have a little bit of carbs, like maybe those veggies have a little bit of carbs. You don't have to get super neurotic about it, but just thinking about like the overall general way things are working. So then number three, you'll go back to protein plus a carb. And then number four, you'll go into your protein and fat. So this is kind of thinking about what you're pairing your protein with. So do you want a carb source like rice, or would you rather put it on a bed of veggies and then having a healthy fat next to it like the avocado?
What's the, like, what is the benefit of doing this?
Well, the benefit that people might realize is that you're just eating less carbs to begin with. Carbs are just super easy to eat and overeat, is what I've come to realize for a lot of people. And so they just don't realize that they're having tons and tons of carbs at each meal. Not saying that carbs are bad, but if you're here for a reason and it's to lose weight, you might be over consuming your carbs. So it just kind of gives you that idea and sense of what you're actually consuming and whether it's benefiting you.
Yeah. More often than not, you're probably overeating your carbs, which
carbs
is okay.
So easy. Yeah. Going back to the idea in the supermarket, it's like, I want you to, okay, let's do a little thought experiment. So we have a family size bag of Lay's chips. I want to ask you, how many potatoes do you think go into making one bag of those chips?
Oh, you're asking me?
Sure.
I don't know.
Like good sized potatoes.
I'm trying to
think for a family size, probably about 10 potatoes.
10?
You
that
think
seems
less?
Like a lot for like how small chips are.
I think for a regular one, it's like 5. So a regular bag, I was thinking like family size. Let's go with a regular bag of chips. It's like 5.
Okay.
Regular bag. It's 5 potatoes.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think, let me go back. Do you think you could eat a bag of chips in one sitting? Like sit down on a couch and eat all those chips? Could you?
I don't know. I feel like I would feel sick. I don't think I actually
so you,
could.
You haven't? Okay, I have. And I'm sure a lot of other people have. Finished a whole bag of chips.
Wait, okay. Themselves. The small, like these ones, yes, for sure. But the big, like fine, I'll just say yes. Okay.
There we go. Just the regular size that you get at like Ralph's, Walmart, all those.
Like the gas station?
Yeah.
Basically, yes, we are going to say yes.
Okay, yes. Okay. Do you think you could eat 5 plain potatoes? No. Great, quick answer. So I'm just showing you how easy it is to eat carbs and how easy it is to overeat hyper-palatable, ultra-processed carbs. So hyper-palatable, ultra-processed carbs are the chips. The opposite of that is the bland potato. Why is it so much easier to finish a whole bag of chips than it is to eat just bland potatoes, maybe with a little salt, no butter. It's because you get palate fatigue. You're eating the same thing over and over with the bland potato. Whereas the chips, they created this essentially to hijack all your system. So you're getting a new sensation every time. You're grabbing the next chip before you even finish the chip in your mouth.
Stimulating.
Until you put all the chips into your mouth and you're now got this wonky slush of just mashed potato chip in your mouth and you keep gobbling down. Like this, I'm sure this happens to everyone. You go into the pantry, you grab one potato chip, and then you grab another potato chip. And then you say, okay, I'm done after this potato chip. But then you keep grabbing them.
Especially if they're like, oh, sour. Wait, no.
Sour cream and cheddar. Onion.
Wait, is it cheese and sour cream? Oh my God.
Cheddar and sour cream. Sour cream.
Yeah. Oh, slap. City.
Yeah. So we're just trying to show you that it's super easy to over consume those. And that's all we wanted to let you know. I don't think anyone, if you do this, you're kind of a psycho. If you go into the pantry and you eat like one snack, like one Oreo, one chip, props to you, but you've beat the system because the companies have paid billions of dollars so that you don't only eat one chip. But if you can just go in, grab one chip and be done for the rest of the day, wow.
Amazing. I will honestly say to you that you have brought up the Oreo thing before and I've definitely done that once, maybe. Yes.
No, more than once. I catch myself doing it all the time.
No, where I was able to just eat one without whatever. But then it like becomes like a thing where I'm like, oh, every night I'm gonna grab one little Oreo.
Yeah.
Which whatever.
That's good. That can be hard to Oreo.
No, I couldn't do it now.
One Oreo, yeah. All right.
Okay.
Let's wrap up this podcast.
I think
podcast.
We're ready for the sixth step to a six pack. Which is to limit your liquid calorie intake.
Mm-hmm.
We should also add and drink more
water. Yeah. So before we end this podcast with this last step, everyone go ahead, grab some water and glug, glug, glug it.
Where's yours?
My water bottle's outside, so I can't go get it. I'll drink after this. You know I drink my water. Okay.
Trust.
So basically, limit your liquid calorie intake. Well, guess what? Water has no calories. And it's usually free, unless you're buying like bottled water. But it's usually free.
It's the magic pill. I mean, the magic.
It is. Water is amazing. So basically, what does limit your liquid calorie intake mean and look like? Essentially, it's things like sodas, orange juice, apple juice, and whoa, why is he saying orange and apple juice? Well, most of them add in a lot of added sugar. So oranges and apples, of course, they have sugar, but a lot of these companies will add in extra sugar and say it's, you know, a great alternative to soda. But if you look side by side, it probably has close to the amount of sugar that you'll find in a can of pop, maybe half of it, but that's still a lot more than what you think you're getting. I remember one time I asked my dad how much sugar he thinks is in orange juice. And he was like, not too much. Like, this is per serving, like per glass. He's like, 10 grams. And I was like, how many calories do you think there is in orange juice? Just like regular orange juice you get from the store. He's like, I don't know, 50. And then I asked him how much he thinks was in soda. So we went and looked at a soda can. He's like, okay, so soda has 140 calories. Something like 60 grams of sugar for a Coke. Then we look at the orange juice. You get per serving, per glass, 8 ounce, 120 calories plus 30 grams of sugar. And he's like, oh my God, why do we drink this in the morning? Like, it's just sugar. It's just Coke. And I'm like, yeah, would you drink Coke in the morning? Probably not. Not if you're trying to have a good day. Usually when I start with a good day, it starts with water. So that's what we mean by limit your liquid calorie intake is things like soda, these juices that have way too much added sugar. Not saying that juice is bad, but some of them have way too much added sugar, especially
energy
if you're starting your day. Energy drinks, Gatorade, things like that. So we say just drink water.
It adds up.
It does add up.
Also, another thing that you can try if you're somebody that does drink a lot of soda, like myself in the past and my soda. Parents. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. I love regular Coke. Fuck a Diet Coke. I'm sorry.
But you're about to say drink a Diet Coke?
No, I'm about to say, actually, I really like the feeling of the carbonation.
Yeah.
Me so too. I transitioned out of drinking like a soda every day or a Coke every day to sparkling water.
Sparkling water. Yeah. Fizzy water, carbonated water, like LaCroix really put that on the wave.
I'm a Topo Chico because I'm bougie a little bit, but
yeah,
I did get my parents to stop drinking Diet Coke like it's water.
Go. Yeah. So that's another way. I think another way, if you really do enjoy soda, I mean, the way I think of it, like if I'm going to enjoy a soda, I'm just going to enjoy a soda.
Mm-hmm.
Like I understand. Oh, I still do. Yeah. I understand like what it is and how to, you know, limit myself. But if you have a really tough time and you do want to start getting off that path, then that's when I think artificially sweetened drinks can do the trick. And this is just talking in terms of fat loss, because I think in terms of longevity and health, just because there's no evidence that the artificial sweeteners don't have an effect on our body doesn't mean that we won't find them in the future. Mm-hmm. Anyways, that's a whole nother topic. But just for fat loss, I think it's fine to switch out the Coke for a Diet Coke, because it will reduce your calories. And we know that calorie deficit is the king of creating your weight loss for any person on earth.
Any person.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, that's about it. And I think adding in more water helps with your hunger cravings a lot. Sometimes when you're hungry, you're either bored or dehydrated.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying that it's all the time, but a lot of times you could probably mitigate it.
Water. You know,
yeah. I just think people don't drink enough water. I get so many DMs. People are like, yo, I literally didn't drink water before I saw any of your posts and your stories.
Wow, you're changing lives.
And then they're like, now I still don't drink water, but I appreciate the thought. No, but they're like, I drink a lot more water now. Like I pee at least once a day now, which I didn't.
Oh my God.
People are weird. I don't know if they're being facetious or not, but I think they're actually, people don't drink water. Like a lot of people just don't drink water. If I'm not thinking about drinking water, I'm not going to drink a lot of water that day. So I think keeping it on your mind is good.
Yeah, yeah. You're right.
Some people DM me, they're like, I bought a 2-gallon or a 2-liter thing of water just so I always have it and I can always drink it because you inspired me. So that makes me feel good. But yeah, I just feel like a lot of people just don't get enough water to begin with.
I agree.
Yep. Nope. I think we just finished. Those were the 6 steps to a 6-pack.
Yep. It's really that easy, guys.
It's not easy. It's simple. It is simple. Everything in fitness is simple. None of it is really that easy. I don't think there's been anything in fitness that has been super easy to like get into or learn. But it is simple. It is straightforward. If you like physics, it's all just one big physics equation. That's kind of how the body works. Hasn't defied any laws of physics yet that we know of. But like we said, if you defied a law of physics where you're able to gain weight in a calorie deficit, you need to contact us first so we can bring you into NASA, because we want to get that retainer fee so that when they're experimenting and figuring out how you can create energy out of nothing, we'd just like to be, I don't know, publish our authors of that too.
Yeah,
that'd be cool.
Yep.
But yeah, those 6 steps, if you can follow all 6 for 21 days, you will be good to go and you'll be that much closer to reaching your fitness goals. Monica, yes. Anything to add?
No, I was just going to say, just start small. Start small and apply them to whatever your lifestyle is. Just make it realistic for you, because consistency.
Right. Consistency is key. I mean, we tried to make them as easy to implement as possible. But this is the first iteration. We'll have hopefully more future iterations if you guys are trying to reach a certain goal. That's it from us here at the Only Fitness Podcast, the only podcast all about fitness in the entire world. Literally no one else is making a podcast about fitness except for us. So we changed all our names on Instagram. This is now the only fitness podcast on Instagram, but my Instagram is still at the Alan Yee. That is ASAP. Monty, we really appreciate your time, and we appreciate if you made it all the way to the end of this. If you guys have, we saw some ratings and we really like it. We're a 5-star rating on Apple, I think, right now. I don't think Spotify does ratings, but if you are listening on Apple or whatever podcast service you use and they do have a rating system, please feel free to drop 5 stars. We really appreciate that, and that helps us in the algorithm and SEO. Go ahead and give this a like or download it, I think, if you're on Spotify, and go ahead and share it to your Instagram, tag us. We will repost you. I'll send you a customized shout out too if you tag us. I think if you're private, we don't see it, so that's one thing, so make sure you're not private. Yeah, I don't think you can watch. Well, you can't watch private people's stories, right? So
not true.
Yeah. So that's the one thing. But if you are public and you do share it, I will send you a custom video straight from me, the horse's mouth.
Cameo vibe.
For free. Cameo. Yeah. My cameo prices are like $999,999 trillion.
Sheesh.
I'm pretty high ticket, but I would do that for free just for you if you do those steps. So thank you guys for listening. We will be back next week. Episode every Friday. So we'll get another Friday episode out next week. Thank you guys for joining us at the only fitness podcast, the only podcast about fitness. See you next week. Thanks for listening. We enjoy your valuable time. Thanks for spending it with us. You can go ahead and just skip out of this. I'm just going to keep talking until the very end. But if you want to just click that 15-second ahead number thing too at the bottom next to the pause, you can do that too. But I'm just gonna blabble because we don't have a real outro yet, but maybe we'll get a real outro sometime soon. Yeah, but yep, that's it. If you're still listening, thank you so much. I don't know why you're still listening.
You're a real one.
We're gonna cut it out now in about 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.